But first, ladies and gentlemen, our sitting member, Laura Tingle, emerges triumphant from behind her aspidistra. Congratulations, Laura.
Oh, thank you, Philip. I'm speechless.
It was a near thing, though, wasn't it? You must, you know, there was that huge swing against you.
I like to sort of think in the positives, and, you know, people's preferences were very important, and their preferences are the little radio program.
Well, look, let's stay positive. It seems only yesterday that Kevin Rudd made the sorry day, the apology to the Aboriginal, you know, to the Stolen Generation. And you will recall that quite a few very famous politicians, up to and including John Howard, declined to attend. May I hope that today's apology to the victims and survivors of institutional sexual abuse was more harmonious?
From the politician side of things, Philip, it was. It was one of the days when you don't want to look, when you don't feel that you have to look away from federal politics. Our two leaders, Scott Morrison and Bill Shorten, gave very good speeches. There was an enormous amount of warmth across the divide, as they say, particularly towards Julia Gillard. Scott Morrison observed when he was out on the lawns later that he'd never been in a room where there was so much hurt and suffering, or hurt and grief. I can't remember the exact term he used. And it was quite electric, the sort of sense of continuing anger, and there was a lot of yelling out in the Great Hall when the politicians came from the House of Representatives into the Great Hall to deliver the apology to some of those victims of abuse who were there. But nonetheless, I think overall it was a good day for the Parliament, and I thought the fact that they cancelled question time so we didn't immediately just revert to the usual circus, I think was a really good thing to have happened.
I would have cancelled our question time tonight, but there'd just be mayhem if I even thought about it. Now, there are about 1,000 attending. Would they have been satisfied with the apology, do you think?
I think it was really mixed. I think, Philip, some people were really pleased to see that it had happened. Others, you know, are very damaged and sort of remain angry. But I think the fact that it happened, you know, at the least goes some way to sort of making it a bit better for some people. I think the important message out of the apology is the one that was delivered, I think, by both leaders, which was, we believe you. We're sorry that people didn't believe you. And I think that was a very important thing for the country to say to some people who've, you know, carried an incredible scars throughout their lives.
Now, breaking news, as you might have heard in the news, 11 children have been airlifted off Nauru. All of this in the twinkling of an eye after Wentworth. Are we seeing a profound policy shift?
Speaking of scars on children, yes. Look, I think there's a few things happening here, Philip. I think without a doubt there's a growing level of physical and mental distress that's been going on Nauru, particularly amongst the children. In recent times, it's just been getting worse and worse and worse. So a lot of kids have been quietly removed or medevaced off in recent times. I suspect that this might possibly, this move tonight, which was revealed in estimates, possibly reflects a sort of a slight softening of position on this, given the growing pressure to do something. And there's sort of several threads of that, I suppose, but where it looks like it's going to come down is that the crossbench is now pushing the government very hard, and of course the crossbench is about to grow because of Wentworth, is pushing very hard to get all the children at least off Nauru, and this is going to be, they're proposing that this be achieved via Australia changing its long-held position of not accepting New Zealand's offer to take some refugees. But the argy-bargy now is over this idea of a backdoor entry to Australia if you let people into New Zealand. And that's where the negotiations are.
Will we also see a sudden change on climate change?
Well, I think this is one of the really interesting things out of Wentworth, Philip. Scott Morrison, as we discussed last week, made some absolute, quite ludicrous, really, concessions or you know, appeasements or bribes or whatever he thought they were to try to rescue Wentworth, the Liberal Party, and it only just backfired really spectacularly on them. Now, the one thing and one area where he made no concessions whatsoever was on climate change, and certainly that's what people are continuing to say. And I suppose my reading on that is, one, it's just an impossibility for the coalition to deal with this policy anymore. They just are not capable of moving in any direction on it. And when you think about it, it's really only a few months now till the next federal election. And I don't think the Prime Minister probably thinks at this point that he has sort of the manoeuvrability, particularly given how abysmally they did in Wentworth, to try to get his party behind him and change the policy.
Now, there's been a huge amount of finger-pointing, and it's all pointing in the same direction. I've seen Barnaby Joyce's finger, Nick Greiner, Scott Morrison, of course, Michael Kroger, and their finger is aimed at Turnbull.
Even when Malcolm Turnbull leaves, it's all his fault. they're all sort of saying it's Malcolm Turnbull because he's very selfish. You know, we knifed him and then he was so ungrateful that he left. But even sort of supporters of Malcolm Turnbull aren't sort of blaming him as such, but they're saying, well, it was impossible for us to hold on to this seat because he had such a huge personal following. Now, I think this is fairly crazy stuff because, yes, there was a lot of voter resentment, particularly amongst Liberals, at the way Malcolm Turnbull was shafted as Prime Minister. But we've got a lot of published polling up in the lead-up to the by-election and on the day itself showing that specific issues like climate change and asylum seekers were an issue. And I think we saw in the difference between voting patterns on the day and earlier postal votes that the absolute own goals of Scott Morrison and his colleagues last week had a huge detrimental impact on the result in Wentworth. It's still an historic swing against the sitting government, and everything is being done to sort of say it's got nothing to do with us. We didn't do anything to deserve this as such.
Sorry to interrupt you, but Anthony Green's just rushed into the studio again. He had information about your win. He's handing me a piece of paper. Sharma, currently on 36,075 on two-party preferred, and Phelps on 37,631. Heavens above, that's not just close, that's terrifying.
Oh, well, it's two-party preferred, Philip. It's a lot different to what the result looked like on Saturday night, but it is the case that historically the Liberals always do much better in the pre-poll postal type votes than Labor, but this time round it did a lot better. Now, there's been a few factors. I mean, I mentioned the fact that obviously the government's campaign went completely pear-shaped in the last week. Other people have mentioned that a lot of people in the Jewish community don't vote on the Sabbath, so there was a high proportion of postal votes for that reason. There's a whole range of reasons, once again, why people thought the postal vote was so high. But without a doubt, that was always going to sort of close the gap with Karen Phelps. But still quite an astonishing thing that from a standing start, you could get an independent knocking off one of the safest seats in the country for the Liberal Party.
Well, the formidable Phelps has ruled out a no-confidence motion in the government. But of course, her power now is almost without precedent. We can think of times in the past when you've had one independent who's wielded a lot of authority, but her timing is immaculate.
The timing is immaculate, and I think the crossbench will sort of come into its own. We tend to focus a lot on no confidence motions, of course, but it really is the argy-bargy of individual bits of legislation. And you only have to look at what Pauline Hanson's been able to sort of wheedle out of the government in the Senate in order to get her support for things. I suppose one of the questions I have, though, Philip, is how much legislation is still outstanding for the government. And my answer would be not a huge amount. There's not a lot of sitting weeks left in this year. The question will be how the government deals not just with getting support for its own legislation, but also whether it's prepared to be supportive of legislation across bench moves in these circumstances.
Now, of course, Labor ran dead in Wentworth. They didn't spend a cracker on advertising. And should they have run at all?
Oh, look, I think you've always got to run, don't you? I mean, if you're sort of serious, I mean, I know the Liberal Party has tended to start not running in a lot of places, but I think, Tim Murray, I think, did his absolute best and was on song. I mean, all the polling, as I said, showed people were really concerned about climate change, and he was talking about that. But I think once Karen Phelps emerged into the field in such a strong Liberal seat, he was a bit cooked as a result, because it was much easier for Liberals to vote for an independent than it would be to go that one step further and vote for a Labor candidate. But he did his best.
Laura, congratulations on your re-election. It's good to have you on as our sitting member. And her other job, of course, is she's chief political correspondent for the ABC's 7:30.